My sermon is about the power of your testimony. So please allow me to just start off with my own testimony. When we left Worcester, I asked the Lord, Lord, I know you want us to go to Claymont. Not just to enjoy and relax there, but to do something for you. And the Lord says, yes, but you just go and you just rest first. And we rested and we rested. And I said, Lord, what now? It's really fun to be here. It's lovely walking on the beach. It's great to walk all the little paths through the rocky areas and watch the waves break. But what are we doing here? Please, let's start with something. But the Lord was quiet. And one morning I was angry and I said, Lord, please help now. And the Lord says, you know what? I had to go into the wilderness for 40 days without water, without food. And Satan was on me all the time. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to just want to walk in and change the world? And it humbled me. And then I started crying. Because little by little, the Lord started taking away lots of the pillars I thought I had in my life. Lots of the crutches that I used, He started taking away. The kids went back after the holidays and we were alone. But it was great and I enjoyed everything. But then Satan came and he started getting to me. And I want to tell you, it's not a nice place to be. When he starts constantly saying, are you sure that this God you are worshiping is with you? Are you sure he's real? Yes, that's what he told me. In the night when I wanted to sleep, I couldn't sleep because he constantly came with this accusation. Why did you do this? Why did you stop working? What are you doing here? And you know, there was times when I really just wanted to crawl under the bed and just lie there and cry. I felt so lonely. I wanted to cry out like Jesus did in Gethsemane when he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? Where are you? I did that too. And you know what? As we walked along the beach and I saw the waves just pounding down on those rocks, I heard the deep voice inside saying, you are in this rock, and the waves can pound and Satan can come with all his accusations, but I am your rock. I am your salvation. And you know, I could start smiling again. And Satan didn't stop with his accusations, but I could feel the power of God rising inside of me. But you know what God did? He showed me nothing. Nothing that you ever thought you had is yours. It's the grace of the Most High God. And he said to me, who are you to say, oh, these people who are so depressed, can't they just get out of it? I sometimes said that. And I have a woman that I counseled with deep depression. And I sometimes in my spirit, I'm agitated with her. And God says, who are you to think that you're better than her? She's taking a lot of punch, but she sticks to the Lord. And she's a witness wherever she goes. What happened to you? Where are you now? And you know what? Slowly and gradually, as I worked in the garden and I planted the little plants and I saw it coming up, I saw the beans growing and I was become excited. And God showed me, he says, I need you to know what depressed people feel like. And you know what? Even financially, God tried us. Or allowed us to be tried. And you know what? God really made me feel what those people feel like when they come to your door and say, Missie, sister, ki brood asseblief. I could feel the way they feel. I can understand. And now I can know that God took me through all of this and us both to make us stronger in Him. Not because we're becoming stronger, but because He is becoming more real to us. Because He is the great I am. You know, He rules the universe. He sits up above the embankment and He looks across the universe. He sees the planets and He puts them in their places. He keeps them from crashing into one another. He keeps us safe here on earth. That's the God that we serve. And this is what God's really made us experience. And I want to thank you this morning. God said to me, just hold on until the 11th of March. And here I am. And God really came through. And I want to say thank you for each one of you. I know there's some of you that were really praying for us and are still praying. And I want to urge you now. Now we need to know what to do. Will you please pray for us? We are just a satellite of this congregation. And we need your input and your prayers to show us the way in Claymont. So I ask you, please, we need your prayers. At last. Here's the sermon. Now, I just want you to understand how powerful your testimony is. While I was in this distressing time, I often found little pieces of paper in my Bible or in my diary that I keep, not really a diary, actually just talking to God. I found little bits of paper with verses that I wrote down that people gave me. And you know what? That was the power that kept me going. Because those little bits of just testimony coming from you people, from other people that I know, just encouraged me. Sometimes I just switched on the radio and there was somebody talking about God and His love. I mean, not on just a secular program. And it encouraged me. So please, this is very important. The power of your testimony. How are you going to testify to other people? Now, I just want to start off with three stories. It was a book that I'm reading about missionaries and things that happened to them in the mission field. Now, this lady said she one day walked into a little town in Africa, and there was this family, and she could see the kids sitting outside, devastated. The woman was crying, and inside the little hut, she heard the husband screaming at them. And when she went closer, she realized he was stone drunk. He was so drunk. And he was fighting with them all the time. And this, and she started talking to this woman, and the woman said to her, it goes on like this day by day. It's terrible. We can't take it anymore. And she just started talking to the lady, and he came out. And the only words that he could have heard was the words when she said, Jesus, the name of Jesus has power. That's all he heard. And he went back in again. And she left the little town. And 2 or 3 years later, she came back. And when she saw the little hut, she saw the children playing outside so happily. Their faces were open and beaming. The wife came out, well dressed. She says, what happened to your husband? Did he pass away? She said, no. And out came the husband, a new man. And this man came to her and he held her hands and he said to her, you know what? I want to thank you for the words you left in my house. When you were here, you said the name of Jesus is powerful. He said, and one day when I was really so drunk and I was so desperate to get out of it, he says, because everybody thought I liked it, but I didn't. I hated every moment of being drunk. He says, and I just was lying there on my bed and I was crying out, and I remember you said the name of Jesus has power in it. He said, and I just called out, Jesus, Jesus. He said, and the next moment, I was clear. I was not drunk anymore. He says, I did not even smell like alcohol. I was clean, and I never even wanted to take one more drop because of the power of your testimony. And therefore, I just want to, you to encourage you to do this. Then there's one more that I want to tell. There was this missionary lady, and she met a girl one day that was crying on a rock. And she said, why are you crying? She says, you know what? I was kicked out of my house. My husband kicked me out. Then I went to my parents' house, and they kicked me out. And now I'm here. She says, why did they kick you out? She says, you know what? I was sold to this man. I met him the day of our wedding day. She says, and we were married for 3 years, but I couldn't give him a son. And so him and my parents decided that the gods are against me. And I am crazy. And I cannot bear a son, so I am hopeless. So they chased me out of the city. And the missionary says, this often happened in this area where she was working. So she said to this girl, now come with me. I have lots of women like you in my house. Let's go and talk about this. And she changed, and then she decided she wanted to become a Bible woman, as she said. So she was trained to be a Bible woman, and she worked under lots of her people, and she really had a lot of converts. But then one day they called for the missionary, and they said, this lady's busy dying. Will you please come and pray for her? So they rushed down, bottles of oil. They went down, and they're going to anoint her now, and God is going to heal her. But when they came to her bedside, she said, no, don't touch me. Don't even pray for me. Just get a donkey cart and take me to my mother's house. And she said, why on earth? You're busy dying. You won't even reach your mother's house. And she said, no, I want you to take me there because I want to die in their house. She says, because you know what? They're so scared of death. They run away from it. They are so scared. And I want to die there so they can see you can die in peace. And so they took her, and she survived the trip. And when they got to the mother's house, the mother called the brothers and the father, and they were all in the house, and they said, she's going to die. But they were so scared of her, but they stayed there. And then she said to them, I can see Jesus. And she started smiling. And she lifted her hand up, and she smiled, and she passed away. And they said, she can't be dead. She was smiling. She can't be dead. And the missionary said to them, you know what? She is dead. But she's smiling because she is in the safest place where you could ever be. And just the testimony of her death brought her whole family in. And the whole little town where she grew up came to the Lord because of the power of her testimony. But now I want to tell you a sad story. You know what? My sister-in-law told me she works at the library. And she says, she's working with two women. One is a Christian and the other one is a Muslim. And so they work together, but very happily. But this Christian woman is terribly strict. She's second in charge of the library and everybody's scared of her. She says, so she was really trying to be nice to her. You know, really going out of her way. And then just certain customers this lady would treat nicely. But the others, she's just so nasty to them. And especially old people. So, and this poor Muslim lady came in one morning. And as this Christian woman came in, she saw something on her forehead. And she says, sorry, there's something dirty on your forehead. So she said, no, don't you know? I'm a Christian. And I'm not scared of my faith. I am wearing a cross on my head because it's Ash Wednesday. And you know what? It put that Muslim lady off Christianity as soon as it could be. And nobody likes her. But she constantly tells everybody she's a Christian. I just want to urge you, please don't have that kind of testimony. Because there's two ways of testifying. Now I want to start with Joshua. Joshua, the leader of Israel. And Joshua, Jesus, the son of the Most High God. Joshua heard a testimony, the leader of Israel. But Jesus, the Messiah, had a testimony. Now I want to start off with Joshua, the leader of Israel. Now in Exodus 15, verse 1 to 21, I'm not going to read it now to you. Go and read it at home. That was the song that Moses wrote after they came through the Red Sea. And he was just telling in the song how great God is. And I'm sure Joshua was part, a young man, maybe just a boy, when they came through the sea. And he heard the words that Moses was singing, because everybody started singing with Moses. So yes, Joshua started off listening to the testimony of Moses. And you know what? Seeing that Moses wrote the first books of the Bible, we think Moses must have known the stories so well about Noah, about Abraham. And so I'm sure he must have taught Joshua that. And now I just want us to go to the story of Noah. And you know what? Noah to me was obedience in spite of. It's easy to be obedient, to be cheerful, to be happy when things go smoothly. When the finances are fine, when your friends are great, your family is wonderful, it's easy to be obedient. It's easy to be happy. But Noah taught us how to be obedient in spite of. The first thing is Noah knew God's voice. Because you know the Bible says God's spirit roamed the earth. And he was looking for somebody righteous. And you know, the time of Noah was not so far from Adam. Because somebody said the other day, if you look at the ages that they became in those days, Noah could have been a little boy when Adam was still alive. So they knew all these things. They still were. So the people should have still known about God. But God goes and he finds only one righteous man. And he took Noah. And then he asked Noah to do something great. Now I want to ask you, I don't know, think any of you ever built a ship. But I think that must be a great job. And if you go to a place where they make ships, you'll see hundreds of people working on that ship. There's one doing a specific job, and he knows his job, and he knows exactly what to do. But Noah knew nothing about building a ship. I mean, there they were far from the sea. There was no sea nearby. Now Noah must build a ship. You know what? I wonder what would you do if God says to you now, start building a ship. Yeah, in Worcester, where the Breda River is the biggest place to take the ship. But God says the ship must be bigger than a rugby field. Can you imagine what Noah must have felt like? But Noah obeyed immediately. And then he did exactly what God told him to do. I sat the other night and I read that part and I realized, you know, it took him 100 years to build that ship. And I thought, goodness, so long. But there were only Noah and his three sons to do the job. They had to go and cut down the trees. They had to leave it to dry first. Then they had to saw. Have you tried a handsaw? I tried to chop down a tree the other day with a handsaw. It takes a long time. And Noah had to cut those planks straight with this handsaw. And he had to make his own nails. And he had to build that ship exactly the way God told him. You know what? Today, they still use the basic plan of Noah's Ark when they build big ships. Because they know that's the best way to build a ship. So, yes, Noah was obedient. But now, this great man also made mistakes. He also took the wrong choices. And he also drank too much. So, yes. But you know what? What was the sad thing about it? Noah was forgiven by God because he admitted his mistake. But his grandson was punished. He never had children. So he had to bear the consequences of his grandfather's sins. So that's why we need to be careful, people. Our testimonies can cause other people to stumble. So let's keep close to God's heart. Then, but Noah had a big reward. He saved God's creation. You know, just think, what would have happened if Noah said no? Nothing would have been left of this earth. Just the plants and the mountains, and it would be barren like Mars, like the other planets. But God sent Noah, and God helped Noah. God's grace helped Noah to be obedient. The next person that Joshua had as a testimony was Abraham. And you know what? To me, it's so great that Abraham, when God spoke to him the first time we read in the Bible, he was outside, and he must have been busy talking to God. Because if you read the history of Abraham before that, he lived in a part where it was great. It was a fertile valley. The people were very rich. They really had a lovely time, but they were idol worshippers. And Noah and his father and brother moved to the land of Ur, and they went to stay there before they went to Israel. So it was, he must have known God. He must have spent time with God. And when God spoke, he knew it's God. So that very moment, and this is what Joshua had to learn from Abraham. You must know God's voice. You must know that this is God speaking. And then he followed. You know what? Say God tell you today. Pack up all your things. And you must move now. But God doesn't tell you where to go. He says you just pack up. And you pack up everything. I've packed up end of last year. It's terrible. But at least I knew where I was going. But Abraham had to move to a place he didn't even know the way there. And he had a lot of cattle. A lot. He was a rich man. He had lots of sheep. Just go and read in the Bible. And he had to take all of that with him. And all his servants. He had to convince his wife. Dear wife, we've got to move. And now they moved through the desert. And it was not easy. You know, I mean, you might be able to just imagine to move with a lot of sheep, a lot of camels, a lot of donkeys and cows and whatever across a desert. It's not an easy job. But Abraham must have trusted God so much that God would take him through the desert. Now, I just want to tell you, there are times in your life when you feel this is the end. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it. But if you cling to God and you trust in him, he is there for you. This is what Abraham teaches us. But you know what? Abraham also made mistakes. Abraham chose a wife that God did not want him to have. He wanted to help God. Hi, is there anybody here who tried to help God? And it was chaos. Yes, just like Abraham, we also sometimes try to help God. Yes, Lord, I'm going to do this and this and this and this. And God says nothing. And he keeps quiet. We need to wait for God moments. We need to wait for those moments when God says, go now. This and this and this is what you've got to do. So this is what Joshua had to learn from Abraham. The next, you know, and what is so terrible about this is that, yes, Abraham was forgiven, but the consequences of his mistake is still here today. Because still today, Israel experiences the hatred of Esau and Ishmael. It's still there. That's why the Arabic countries are at Israel all the time. It's the hatred of Esau that's still in them. And that's why they want to get rid of Israel and just take it off the face of the earth. Just think how this hatred just went on and on and on through the ages. And that's why when we have something against somebody, please forgive. Go and talk about it. Get it out of your system. Because otherwise you and the generations after you will suffer because of that hatred. So, the next thing I just want to say is that Abraham in there, and he was with God, and he stayed with God, and he had to move in Israel. He had to be there in a strange country with strangers, but he stuck in there. And you know what? When we read the Bible now, Abraham is called the friend of God. Isn't that great? And he's called the father of the Israelites because he went on. He didn't stop at his mistake. And people, that's why, if there's anybody here this morning who feel terrible about something that you've done in the past, get rid of it. Talk it through with God. Confess it. Write it on a piece of paper so you can see it yourself. Burn it out and forget about it and move on. God needs you, even though you make mistakes. Then the next thing is, I just want to show you a few things that Joshua did because he sat at Moses' feet. He was with Moses all the time. And the first thing is that I want to read to you about Joshua. His name meant Savior of God's people. That's what the name means. But you know what? Joshua was humble and he could obey. He learned from Moses. Wherever Moses went, Joshua was with him. And we read about him the first time in Numbers 11 verse 28 where it says, Joshua attended Moses from his youth. He was like Moses' shadow. Wherever Moses went, he went. And you know, Moses had a little tent where he always went to pray outside the camp. And the Bible says the cloud of God rested on that tent whenever Moses went in. And Joshua sat outside waiting for Moses to come out. In the next place we see is that he also spent time with Moses in those 40 years when they moved into the desert and were punished. So he took the punishment with Moses. And yes, he was there at the foot of the mountain when Moses went up to fetch the laws. And he watched Moses. And he waited. And he knew God is in control. Then the next one is Exodus 17 verse 9. Moses said to Joshua. This is now when Moses was at the end of his days. And he was now going to die. He said to Joshua, choose men. No, sorry, this was not there. That was quite in the beginning. Before they even received the Ten Commandments, then Moses said to Joshua, choose men and fight against Amalek. And Joshua obeyed. He did exactly, and in that war, he saw what Moses did. Moses stood on the mountain and he asked for help. He said, Caleb and Aaron, lift up my hands. And Joshua saw victory because he saw Moses trusting God. And this was another testimony for him. Then the next time we read about it, it's like a prophecy that came through Moses. And it was in Numbers 13 verse 16 where he said, these are the men that Moses sent. That was when Moses sent the 12 spies into the land. And then I give you all the names. And then they said, these are the men that Moses sent. And then at the end of the verse it says, but he called Hosea Joshua. He changed Hosea's name to Joshua. It was like prophetic because this was the man that's going to save his people and take them into the promised land. Then what happened there is that he had to learn there from Moses that you've got to be changed by God first. You've got to do God's thing before God can really help you. And he had to be quiet. He had to be still before God. And now when he came back after the spies, yeah, everybody says, you know what? This is not a good place to go. Just look at those giants. And you know it was true? They were giants. They were much bigger than the Israelites. And yes, their cities were fortified. It was true. The Israelites had no knowledge of war. Now here they come with their swords and their spears and these big cities. The walls are so thick, they build houses on it. how are they going to get to these people? It's true. It was terrible. But Joshua said, no, God is with us. And you know what? Just the other day, we were visiting people, and the men started talking about the finances. It was just after the begroting, and everybody was distressed. And they said, oh, you know our finances. Oh, you know what's going to happen to the market of the world. We are just going down, and petrol's going up, and food is going up, and how are we going to survive? And you know, at that moment, I also wanted to join him. And suddenly the Lord just said to me, but I promised I will keep my people in safety. I will keep them. I will show them ways to get out of it. I will be their protection. So people, be careful of people who start talking negative. Let's not be like the spies, the 10 that did not want to trust God. Let's trust God in every situation. He will come through for us. Then the next thing is Numbers 27. There we saw where Joshua was anointed. Numbers 27 verse 18, the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, on whom the Spirit of God is, and lay hands on him. Everybody could see, God knew that his spirit was in Joshua, because it was instilled in him from his youth by Moses. I want to cry out to your mothers and fathers, are you instilling God's spirit in your child's life by your testimony, not by forcing the laws of God down on them, not by condemnation, but by just making them walk the walk with you, by showing them how you trust, by showing them how you sometimes cry, by showing them that you are also sometimes distressed, that you also need to just cry out to God sometimes. Is that the God that you show your children? Or is it the one with a rod that's going to stand over them? The one of accusation, of just telling them how terrible today's youth is. You know what? We really need to come and lift our young people up. We really need to come and encourage them and be a testimony to them of how to trust God with the joy and with worship. The next thing is, we came to Deuteronomy 31 verse 3. Now Moses stands before Israel and he says, it is the Lord your God who will cross ahead. They are at the Jordan River now. And he says, God is going to cross over before you. And then he turns and he says, Joshua will go ahead, just as the Lord has spoken. And you know what? This is so great, that immediately the people accepted Joshua as the next leader, because they saw him being trained by Moses. They knew that the Spirit of God was on him and that he could lead the people through. Now, there's really no time to read it, but if you go and read Joshua 1, you see how God encourages Joshua, how he tells Joshua to be courageous, to go on. And one of the things that he says, no man shall be able to stand before you. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not fail or forsake you. Be strong, confident, and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land. Turn not from the law. And when God speaks about the law, it's just himself, because he is the law. That you may prosper wherever you go. Meditate on it day and night. But you know what? We tend to, when it says prosper, we immediately think finances, isn't it? When God says, I will protect you, you think physical things. Isn't it so? I mean, I'm like that. I rejoice and, God's going to give me things. But you know what? These past weeks, God showed me, You just consecrate on spiritual prosperity. You just consecrate yourself so that I will be glorified. When we raise our hands, why do we do it? So we could have a good feeling? You know what you're busy doing when you're worshiping? You should put your hands like this. This is how you reflect God's glory back to Him. That is worship. Worship is not for me to feel good. Yes, God gives it in His grace. Yes, and He overshowers you, and you can just feel His greatness. But people, if that is why you worship, then you better stop it, because you're worshiping idols. When you worship, you reflect back to God. Sorry, devil's foot was down. You know, and this is just, to me, so important that we need to understand this. Christianity is not about what can I get out of it. Christianity is about worshiping the Most High God. And you know what? God's glory is not shining on this earth the way it should, because the Christians are not reflecting His glory so it can become bigger and bigger. It's not the world's fault. It's our fault. Because we are not worshiping God in spirit and in truth. People, we need to go back to that place where we sit at the feet of the Most High God. Just be His humble servant. Just close your eyes and experience how He empowers you to bring Him the glory, to shine back on Him. And then even Joshua made a mistake. You know, it was so great. Yes, we've gone through the Jordan River. The river opened up for us. Yes, we went around Jericho and God made the walls tumble and we had victory. Yes, we're going to take this country. God kept His promises. Now the next little city, we just go for it quickly, just like that. Never says Joshua went down on his knees and asked God, how must we approach Ai? He just did it his way. And we know the disaster that came after that. Luckily, he didn't take the whole army. And you know what? Again, God's grace says, I forgive you, Joshua. When Joshua stood before God, crying out, and God was there for him. And you know, this morning, I just want to encourage us to look at Jesus the Messiah, Joshua HaMashiach. You know, He was the Savior, but He's the Anointed One. And you know what? Jesus Himself said, now, Jesus said, I say nothing unless the Father told me so. If Jesus says that, people, why are we doing what we think is best? Shouldn't we do like Jesus? Isn't that what He said? That we must become like Him? And then He also obeyed until death. You know, He faced the wilderness, He faced Satan with one thing, and that's the Word. Now, I just want to, I'm nearly at the end. There's just one thing I want it meant so much for me, to illustrate to you why we should be in the Word. Why we should constantly read the Word and use it as a weapon against Satan. In the time of Rome, they used these big shields, and in their language it meant door, and it looked just like a door. And they used to put it next to each other, and then like a barrier. And then the ones behind would put theirs on top so that the arrows coming wouldn't reach them. And those shields were made of wood. And what they did is they used to first wash those shields in water. And then they anointed it with oil. to make it strong. And as I was listening to this teaching about the shields, God just showed me, and this guy said, you know what we do to be washed in the Word? Isn't that what the Bible says? Be washed in the Word. How many times do you wash every day? How many times do you wash your hands? How many times do you take a bath? Because you want to be clean. God says, wash yourself in the Word as many times as you possibly can, so that your shield will be so strong, your shield of faith, that Satan will come with all his arrows and it will not penetrate. And then be anointed by the Holy Spirit. It's so important. Now, I just want to end off with this. After Jesus went to heaven, we were joined with the Father again, and we could go enter into heaven again. And that was the thing that Jesus came for, so that we can be joined with the Father. Now, I just want to ask you this morning, where's your testimony? Where's your testimony at work when the boss is nasty? Where's your testimony at home when your teenager really drives you crazy? Are you going on your knees? Are you washing in the Word? Are you asking God's advice? Are you waiting for God to lead you? I hear so often, ooh, you shouldn't meet my mother-in-law. How do you treat her? Maybe there's something hurting in her life. Maybe God put you in that family to touch her, to show her the way to Jesus. Then the next thing is, if you go to town and you've really been treated badly by the assistant behind the counter, how do you react? What do you do when that person gives you the wrong stuff or give you wrong advice? How do you react? Do you act the truth in love, or are you fighting for yourself? What kind of testimony are you when you go out today? Let's close our eyes. Father God, we stand before you this morning and we call on you, Lord, and we ask you, Father, please help us so that our testimonies will be coming from heaven. Father, so that what we show to this world will be the heart of Jesus. Father God, that we will be flowing rivers with love flowing into the lives of broken people. Lord, there are so many broken people. There are so many broken young people. There are so many broken children. Father, show us and take us there and give us God moments where we can reach out to those people and bring them the testimony of love. We pray that, Lord Jesus. And if, Lord, I want to pray this morning, if there's anybody here today with a broken life who needs to be touched by the testimony of Jesus, Father God, will you let them go to somebody or come out and just reach out to be helped? And Father, if you need us anywhere, show us the way. Lord, we love you. We want to bring you the glory, Lord, because we know you're coming soon. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name.